What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about, and it's where I answer the questions that you send me. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. This is a special edition. I'm going to do all your questions. I've gotten so many questions, it has become almost a full-time job. And they're coming in from everywhere, too. This is the weird thing. Not just California, not just some of the stations that I'm on across the U.S., but kind of like everywhere. So it's been really interesting. It's been really fun through the pandemic. I feel like I've gotten to know a lot of you through Instagram and Facebook and all these different places that you get your questions in. So I've got a whole bunch of questions here that I printed out for my email, and I am going to do my best to get through as many of them as possible, and I'm going to be mixing in some other stuff along the way. I want to talk first off about 5G, because I've been using the Note 20 Ultra, which if you listened to the last show, you know it's a really good phone. In fact, I'm so tempted to switch to that phone, but I'm not sure if I can give up everything just yet with my iPhone and especially the Apple Watch. Although there is a new Fitbit that's coming out that kind of rivals the Apple Watch for me. So we will see. Maybe that will be the winning combination. But the Note 20 Ultra is a little bit big, especially because you have to have a case on it. But anyway, so I have been kind of checking out 5G in different ways, and I have a pretty good understanding at this point of the 5G offerings from T-Mobile, also AT&T, and to a lesser extent Verizon, because I have yet to step into a 5G area with Verizon because I believe they are far and few between. Few and far between? Far and few between? Whatever it is. So T-Mobile, the SIM card that Samsung sent with the review unit of the Galaxy Ultra was a T-Mobile SIM. And that was a 5G SIM card, 5G phone. And I'll be honest, I really am not impressed with the 5G that I saw on the T-Mobile network. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be good in the future, but it's one of these things where I really wanted to believe in it and love it and couldn't wait to try it, because you see all these ads and all these things that they've been saying about how they are building like the first true 5G network everywhere, and they switched the switch and it was everywhere all at once. Really cool. And you have a 5G signal on the phone. The little indicator looks awesome, but when you go to use it, there were so many times when I couldn't even get a good signal. It was super slow. It was worse than LTE. I would switch back to LTE. So I don't think it's there just yet. And it's fine if you have a 5G phone and you got 5G, but I guess my thesis here is that you don't necessarily need to switch to 5G to right now. Now, on the flip side, AT&T, another phone I have was a AT&T SIM card that they sent to test out the 5G there. And I will say, very impressed with the 5G on AT&T. It has a signal in a lot of places, not as many as the T-Mobile, but the signal when it was there worked a lot better. And I'm talking great speeds, like 100 plus in a lot of places. So this is just my observations. It's casual. There's nothing specific or scientific about this. I'm just telling you my casual observations. Now, I am considering a switch to AT&T because of this. If I do get a 5G phone, I think that AT&T would be the network to be on right now. Verizon, which is my personal carrier, they don't have 5G, but the thing about Verizon is that they're so solid just everywhere that it's just like one of these things where, do you need 5G? I mean, how many things are you really doing on your phone where you need a signal faster than you get with your current provider? I'm not sure. Now, for me personally, as a content creator, journalist, someone who's uploading to Instagram and Facebook and videos and all that good stuff, it would help me to have something that's really fast all the time. And so for that reason, I think the AT&T network would be awesome. Verizon apparently is just stupid fast when you have a signal, but there's not many places you have a signal. So anyway, I just figured I'd give you a little update on the whole 5G situation from my personal standpoint. And I'm excited for it. And personally, it's funny because I love T-Mobile as a company. I think I've said this before. I love them as a company, just the way that they don't really mess with you. It's very straightforward. And so that's what I like about them. But I just feel like the signal sometimes lags the advertising that you see. And but I'm also one of those people where when I like a product, I'm willing to stick with it and kind of stick to it. So I don't know. Anyway, let's get to the first question. This comes from Christine Turner. She writes, I need to buy a new router and really need a quiet one. A quiet one along with it being strong. There are so many to choose from and it's driving me crazy. So I thought I'd ask the expert. Also, what brand was the $27 earbuds on Amazon that you tried out? The Samsung ones don't fit me and they drop out. Thanks so much, Christine. Well, the Wi-Fi signal, I'm not sure what you mean by a quiet one. I don't know of a loud router. But the routers, I have a lot of experience with these Wi-Fi routers because I recently upgraded my internet at home. And so I've been getting the new Eero devices that can handle the higher speeds. So I've got now three of them in my house. And my speeds are okay. I wouldn't say it's amazing. I'm getting 1,000 down at the origination point, I guess the source you can say. And then when I get it into the other areas, I'm getting about 300, maybe 350 on a good day, and sometimes less than that. So I still feel like I can do some more work to get this signal better, but it's still pretty good. I mean, I'm very happy with it. So the routers I'd recommend are anything with a mesh network, which is pretty much all the routers at this point. But the brands that I like and the brands that I know are Eero, which I feel like is kind of like the gold standard. Then you also have Google Nest Wi-Fi, which, you know, I think works pretty well as well. And a lot of people like it. And then Netgear Orbi. I have not tested that personally, but I do believe that they do a good job because I get a lot of reviews from people saying they love it. As for the earbuds, so this was something called Let's Fit, and this was a story we did on KTLA a couple months ago, and this company reached out to me, Let's Fit, and they said, hey, do you want to try these earbuds that are dirt cheap? They're only, I think it was $28. They're called the Let's Fit T13, and I'm telling you, this was the most popular story I think ever done on KTLA. And these are now $21 on Amazon. They have 4,836 reviews. I got a ton of emails from people that purchased these and said they love them. And I've done sound tests of these devices, and I will say they sound better than a majority of the more expensive earbuds. And they're only $21. They don't sound better than the AirPods, but they do sound really, really good for the price. I mean, for $21, you can't go wrong. So again, those are the Let's Fit T13 earbuds on Amazon. Fantastic little device for that price. All right, let's move on. Oh, you know what? Let me tell a story real quick. This was kind of crazy. So I just mentioned that I ordered the Eero. So I've been, these things, the Eeros are kind of tough to get. I used to have the old Eeros, which were just the Eero, not the Pro, and the Beacons. And so when I got the new internet, I realized you needed the faster Eeros, which are called the Eero Pros, which have the tri-band. It's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't necessarily need to know. Well, unless you have really high-speed internet, then you should know. But the Eeros are like sold out everywhere, so I've been tracking them. You just can't go on Amazon and buy them. So I had to buy it from a third-party retailer, you know, another big name, which I won't mention, but, you know, it rhymes with, Nest Guy. That's what it rhymes with. And I get this package in the mail after a week, and I open it up, and the first thing I realize, there's no shrink wrap on my Eero box. I'm like, that's weird, because the last one I ordered from the same exact place, by the way, had shrink wrap on it. And so I go, all right, well, I don't know, maybe they, for eco-friendly reasons, they don't shrink wrap them anymore. Well, next thing you know, I open it up, and I'm like, that's weird. The cord is kind of like mushed and smushed. And you know how you take a cord apart and you have to put it back together? You never get it exactly right. Then the cord also had some Scotch tape on it. I was like, that's definitely not how Eero packages their boxes. Then I look at the Ethernet cable, and it's also repackaged. And also, by the way, there was a hair stuck in the tape. I'm like, this is okay. This is clearly an open box that they sent me. I ordered a new one. This is kind of annoying. So I call the company. Of course, it took a half an hour to get someone on the phone. And they say, okay, well, we'll send you a new one. No real apology. Just, oh, we'll send you a new one. And I have to send back this one. And I said, well, that's kind of a pain. I mean, I'm fine with keeping this because this is clearly an open box. I'm sure it works fine. you know, can you just give me a credit for my trouble and I'll just keep this one. You don't have to spend the money to send me a new one. I don't have to spend the money to send back the old one. And they said, all right, hold on. After about 10 minutes on hold, they finally come back with their offer and they say, all right, we'll give you a $20 credit. $20 on a $200 device. I was thinking more like 40 or 50. The whole reason I didn't buy it on eBay is because I didn't want a new one. And on eBay, I could have saved $50 if I would have ordered it used. So this whole thing is going on, but you know, I just wanted to make things a little bit easier. So I decided to keep it and now I've got the device and it's working just fine. All right, now that you know that story, let's move on to a question from Francie. Francie says, hey, Rich, I need your expertise advice. You have two handsome kids. Well, thank you. I have two beautiful girls, 9 and 7, and now with homeschool, I'm having problems finding the best headphones that are safe for kids' hearing. My daughters don't like the earbuds. They prefer over-the-ear headphones, but they also need a microphone to talk with the teacher and one that's comfortable, 5 hours in class. Ugh. Also safe on the volume, no super loud to protect their hearing. The best ones are super expensive. We've already spent money on two computers. Now we need headphones. This homeschool situation is hard, but better to be safe than sorry with this virus. Hopefully you can help me. So I will tell you what I think are really good headphones, and I can't take the credit for this because we interviewed a person named Lauren Dragon over at The Wirecutter, which is a great reviews website. And when I talked to her about the best headphones, she said, these are the best. And the best are Puro, P-U-R-O. Specifically, the BT2200s, or I guess 2200S. And these are $90, but what I would recommend is that you want to make sure that you look for some sort of discount. And right now, maybe they're not offering them, but I've noticed if you kind of watch the website, and this is true of a lot of websites, just kind of, oh, wow, look at this. See that? My little Honey extension, Honey 15, 15% discount, exclusive from Honey. So again, have one of these things. I really like this Honey. I wouldn't say I really like it, but it's definitely gotten me some discounts. But what's the website for that? Is it gethoney.com? Yeah, gethoney.com or join honey. There it is. Joinhoney.com. And that's a browser extension that looks for coupon codes automatically. But anyway, they have a 15%, but Puro I think is the best because, exactly what you're saying, Francie, they hit all the marks. They, have volume limiting, which is really good. They go over your ears and they also have a microphone and they're super comfortable and they last forever. So these are the headphones my kids have after Lauren recommended them, and Lauren tests headphones for a living. So when she said that these are the best, I took her word for it and we've been using them ever since and they are fantastic. My kids love them. They've had them for I think 2 years now, and believe me, they're not taking care of them like, you know, sitting there putting them back in their cases and stuff. They're just using them all over the place. And we've had no problems and they work great. They also work Bluetooth or wired, which I really like as well. So again, look up the website is Puro Sound, PuroSound.com. And I just mentioned the BT22S, but there are, or 2200S, but there are a whole bunch of different headphones. They have them for adults and kids, but that is going to be, I think, the best case scenario. All right. Mary says, hey, Rich, I watch you regularly. I saw the info on the Google Pixel recorder on KTLA this morning. I have a Pixel 1 and I went to the Play Store to find it. However, it's not listed. The website shows a similar icon, but it's not from Google like yours. I found the voice recorder, Smart Mobi Tools. I'm unable to locate the exact recorder in my Google Pixel Play Store. Is there anything I can do to locate the app that you mentioned? So I did a little digging on this one, and it turns out that the recorder app is only compatible with Pixel 2 and up. So Mary, you are out of luck on this one. And this is another thing that happens very often when I talk about things on TV. And I notice this on my Facebook page. I notice it on Twitter. I notice it on email. People, for some reason, think that they know what I'm talking about and just Google things. And next thing you know, they're emailing me saying, Rich, I bought this and it's you were wrong. This is not, or this is cheaper than what you said, or what. This is why I do the blog post on KTLA.com and on my website. I make sure that I give you the direct links to the things I'm talking about. If you just go on Google Play and Google Recorder app, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to find some random app, not the exact one I'm recommending. And this was part of a story I did on KTLA about transcription apps. And I did some really good recommendations. And I'll just go through them really quickly. Number one was Google Docs. You can do voice typing in Google Docs. Number two is Office 365. They launched a new transcribe feature where you can upload audio and it will transcribe it, or you can just tap dictate and it will do something similar. The Google Recorder app is only available for the Google Pixel, but I'll be honest, I was able to install it on my Samsung with an APK that I got from XDA. Say that 10 times fast. Now, I don't recommend you install APKs unless you know what you're doing, because there could be some security issues. I trust XDA and I did install it and it works fine on the Samsung. Doesn't work on every phone. And I'd recommend this to Mary, but I'm not sure that I want to be recommending people downloading and installing APKs, because you have to allow your phone to install things outside Google Play. And unless you're a total nerd and know what you're doing, that could be a bad thing. So anyway, that's the Google Recorder app. If you do want something similar that works on all Androids and iPhones, I recommend an app called Otter AI. And you get 600 minutes of free transcription each month. And then finally, Descript. This is the one that's great for Zoom calls, because Otter works with Zoom as well, but Descript lets you upload a recorded Zoom call and they will transcribe it. Unfortunately, that one's only good for 3 hours a month. After that, it's $12 a month. So to answer your question, Mary, the recorder thing from Google is amazing. I've been using that the most because it's so easy. In fact, I use it to transcribe almost all of the virtual meetings that I've had and interviews, because I just love having the transcript, and it's unlimited. It's as long as you want and it kind of works. So Mary, if you're not open to upgrading your phone, then you're probably gonna have to do Otter for now, but good question. And yeah, it happens. Not every app is compatible with every Android phone, and that, you know, when I do my stories, I do think about this stuff. I do try to make sure that I find stuff that works with a lot of different phones and platforms and cross-platform, especially, you know, I could do only iPhone apps all the time, but then people email me like, Rich, what about Android? I'm like, I know. A lot of apps come out on Android first, or sorry, on iPhone first, and then they come to Android. And so that's, you know, the problem there. So I always try to think about, okay, is this app available on both? That's really what I'm trying to do. All right, next question coming from, classy lady on AOL says, how do you screenshot on a Galaxy X Pro cover? So what I've discovered is screenshotting is pretty much usually the same across Android. It's usually the down, especially on the Samsung, it's the volume down along with the power button. And you hold that down for about a second and then you release, you'll see your screen turn white with a flash and then it will take the screenshot. On the iPhone, it's the opposite. It is the volume up and the power button at the same time. Or I guess I should say side button on the new phones. So power button as well as the up button on the iPhone, that will take the screenshot. So those are the two ways to take the screenshots. There are also other ways on some of the phones on the Samsung. You can do like these gesture controls. You can also do the little S Pen if you have one of the notes. You can also do, I think on the Samsungs, you can wave your, like the side of your hand over the phone slowly, and that will take a screenshot if you have that enabled. Those are some of the different ways. And then what's the other one I saw the other day? On the OnePlus, I think they had, if you place three fingers on the screen and swipe to the right, it'll take a screenshot. So lots of options for screenshots. Just remember, with iPhone, it's usually the volume up plus the side button. And on Android, it's volume down plus the side button there. All right, Jennifer writes in and says, hey, Rich, my son is, thoughts on iPhone 11 versus iPhone 11 Pro. My son is looking into getting a new phone. Unfortunately, his camera stopped working in his Samsung 7 Edge. He has obviously had this phone for 4 years, and well, he needs a camera for his school stuff. So, your thoughts? I'm a single mom of two, and if I'm going to invest in this phone he is looking at, I'd like to know if it's worth the buy. I appreciate your feedback. And again, the subject was thoughts on iPhone 11 versus iPhone 11 Pro. Well, I think that he probably, how old is he? Did he say how old he is? I'm a single mom. I don't know. It doesn't say how old he is, but, 16. So he's 16. I would probably recommend just the iPhone 11. I mean, why does he need the Pro? The Pro is going to give you a better looking screen. It's going to give you slightly better battery life, and it's also going to give you a better camera because it's got the telephoto lens. Now, you can still zoom in on an iPhone 11. It's just not going to be as clear as the Pro. And you can do everything you can do on the Pro on the iPhone 11. So for that reason, I think that the iPhone 11 is the way to go. I mean, why would you not? Now, I'm going to throw something out there. I don't know if your 16-year-old is going to be happy with this because he's got the Samsung 7 Edge. I'm not sure just how big that screen is, so he may not want to take a step back in screen size. But you also have the iPhone SE, which has a smaller format, a smaller screen, no Face ID, the camera's still great, and that's only $399. If you go with the Samsung 7 Edge, even if you trade that in, I don't think you're going to get very much for that. So let's just see. If you go for the iPhone 11, let's see how much that's going to cost you. You've got purchase options. Let's just go with white. 64 gigs with kids. I mean, they use a lot of pictures and videos. I'd probably spend the extra $50 and get the 128 gig model. I mean, you're literally doubling your memory for $50 extra. You're already spending $699. So spend $749, get double the memory. And now let's say we've got a trade-in. Yes. And let's select our model, which is a Samsung Galaxy S7. They're not even doing the S7 anymore. All right, well, that's unfortunate. So you're not going to get anything for the S7, unfortunately. Now, you can go to another website. You can always sell things on eBay. But let's see if you can get anything on gazelle.com for the S7. If you're looking for a used device, by the way, you can sell your device here. So sell Samsung. It's a good sign that the S7 looks like it's the phone they have on there. So let's just say it is a factory unlocked and it is the S7. Let's scroll all the way down. S7 Edge. Let's see how much they're giving you for it. And let's say it's in good condition, $69. So there you go. $69. I just saved you $69. So sell the phone on Gazelle, or if you're really good, put it on eBay. I always say eBay, you're going to get a little bit more, but you're going to have to do more. So eBay is a lot more work, but you're going to get a higher return on your product versus Gazelle. Super easy. You drop it in the mail in 2 minutes and boom, you get your $69, but it's going to be less than you'd normally get because you're not doing as much work. There's another website called Swappa. I don't think that they would be taking the S7 Edge though, because that seems like kind of an older phone. So I'm just not sure. You might be able to sell it there, but I think that Gazelle is going to be your best bet. But I would go with the iPhone 11 or the iPhone SE for him. All right. Murad says, did you ever find a fix for the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra issues with social media? I think you said you were going to try your Verizon SIM and see if the issues were network related. What happened? Good question. This was related to the review of the S20 Ultra. I said my biggest problem with it is that social media looks like garbage on it. And it's still kind of happening. So I did try when I had the problems, I was on T-Mobile. And I realized that T-Mobile generally throttles video to 480p, which I don't like. I want full HD. Well, even on the best carriers now, they're still doing just 720p. So I did try. Basically, everything looked all garbly. So all the like Instagram stories, they just looked garbly, like pixelated. And a lot of the videos that I'd look at on whether it was Facebook or even Instagram, they just looked bad. I just wasn't used to it. On iPhone, social media videos look fantastic. They look just as crystal clear as the camera that took them. But for some reason, when you upload them through Android and view them through Android, they look horrendous. And so I did find that with T-Mobile a lot across the board. When I tried it with AT&T, it's still happening, just not as much. I think it's looking better, but I think that the problem is iPhone just looks really good with social media and the rest just can't touch it. And that's mainly because I've talked about this before. The thing is, all of the phones are optimized for social media on the iPhone. All these developers do is concentrate on the iPhone, and they're sitting there. And if you've noticed, you're getting updates for your apps all the time on iPhone. It happens on Android, but just not as much. And I think that's because this prevalence we have of the iPhone in the US, at least, it's very iPhone centric. And so these developers make a lot of money on the iPhone. They want to service their iPhone audience first. Now, when you're talking a big app like Instagram, why does it act like garbage on the Android? I don't know. It shouldn't. I know for a long time, Facebook was so iPhone centric that they didn't even think about Android. And it was a problem. And now I'm seeing more of the apps and more of the features come to Android and iPhone around the same time. But still, there is a major discrepancy between these two platforms. And if you have an Android, it's kind of frustrating because I get why it happens. It happens because there are a million and one Androids out there. And if I have an app and I'm an app developer, I can't sit there and optimize my app for a million and one phones. So what you end up doing is you do basics that work on a variety of Androids, but it doesn't work very good. And the best way to illustrate this is, case in point, Note 20 Ultra. If I create a story on the Note 20 Ultra and then I look at that Instagram story on the iPhone, it looks like garbage, whether it's a video that I uploaded or the placement of the text, everything's blown up, blown out, things are cut off. It's very frustrating. If you only have an Android phone, you don't really know that because you're not looking at different phones like I am all the time to see the differences. I don't think it's a deal breaker for the Note 20 Ultra because it's still such a great phone. I just wish that social media was a little bit better. All right, let's see. Pamela says, "Hi, Rich. I hope you and your family are doing well." We are. Thank you. "Here's my problem. I have a Lenovo Flex 5 with some keys not working. This has been a problem off and on for about 2 years. But now, since I can't get all of the keys to work at all, I want to replace the keyboard myself. I have tried looking up self-help on doing this, and it looks very difficult. It looks as if I would have to remove almost everything inside the computer before getting to the keyboard. What do you think? Do I have to remove everything before getting to the keyboard? Is this something I should attempt? Any suggestions?" Do not do this yourself, Pamela. I would not attempt. If you're talking about going underneath the entire laptop and unscrewing the bottom four screws and taking out the motherboard and then getting to the keyboard, I would not recommend doing that for the mere mortal. Not something that you should be doing yourself. With that said, if you've watched these little videos and you've seen them and you have some hesitation because you're emailing me, so clearly you're thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. So that tells me that you have not done this before and you probably don't want to attempt it on your laptop that you rely on. I have done this with several laptops, but mostly back in the day when laptops were much more forgiving to upgrades. And the main things that I upgraded were the memory and also the hard drives, back when you could do that very easily. Today's computers, just not so easy. Now, when it comes to the keyboard, there are two things you might be able to do. You might be able to pop off some keys with a little tool and find some replacement keys on eBay or from, just look them up on Amazon and pop those keys back on and they might work. In fact, the problem might be just little crud underneath the keys. So I would maybe try popping off one of the keys that's not working and put a new one on, or just maybe use some canned air on the keyboard and see if maybe blowing some canned air underneath these keys might work. Just be careful because you don't want to make this thing worse than it already is. at the end of the day, I think if you want to get use out of this laptop, let's see, Flex 5. Oh, this is a Chromebook. Let's see, is it a Chromebook? I don't know. It's a 2-in-1 laptop. And it's no longer available. So I would say if you still want to get some use out of this thing, it's probably fine if it's only 2 years old. But I would bring it somewhere like a U-Break iFix, one of these national places. You can go to like Best Buy, Geek Squad. They're probably going to charge you more. But I would go to one of these little local fix-it places. And if you need to find one in your area, I would check U-Break iFix first and see if that works. If not, I would just check Yelp and look for a highly rated computer repair facility near you. I've done computer repairs at these places nearby, and they're great. It's a little inconvenient. You got to bring your computer there. There's always a chance they could wipe your hard drives. So you want to make sure you have everything backed up. But at the end of the day, you know, a couple $100, you're going to be using your computer. And it's more of the process that's kind of a lengthy process. And yes, you have to bring your computer there and wait and this and that. But at the end of the day, you're going to enjoy having your computer fixed by someone. I always say it's better to have this done by someone who does it on a daily basis. Why do you want to attempt to do something for the very first time on a gadget that you rely on when there is someone out there doing this every single day? They know exactly what they're doing. They have the expertise. And yes, it's going to cost you money, but at the end of the day, then you don't have to worry about breaking this thing. And then it's on you, and you're going to be even more frustrated if you short circuit it or if you mess something up or if you get it all done, which is great, and then you can't get the back on or something like that. So find a fix-it place, get it done, and move on with life. That's what I would recommend. Okay, let's move on to Ormoz. Ormoz writes in, one-time credit card question. Hey, Rich, thanks for your awesome podcast. Oh, great. I butchered your name and you actually listen to the podcast. I'm sorry. H-O-R-M-O-Z. Ormoz? I remember that you mentioned once about a one-time credit card number website/app that is generated from my original credit card. Can I know the name of that app/website? Thanks. Yes, the website is called privacy.com. Privacy.com. And what privacy.com does is you sign up and you log in, and next thing you know, you can use your, I'm trying to log in here so I can actually tell you, because I've been using this website since I did the story. I signed up on the website and it's great. So I have a whole bunch of cards for different things that I'm getting charged for. And what you do is you sign up with your, I believe it's your bank account, maybe your debit card as well. So you might be able to use your debit card. But again, once you sign up, you cannot use your credit card. So yeah, funding. Okay, yeah, my debit card. So you can use your debit card or your bank account. And so I went with my debit card, which is linked to my bank account. But you sign up with that. And then when you want to charge something, you generate a card number. And this card number can be good for one-time use, or it can be good for recurring use, but it will only authorize for an amount you want. So for instance, I've got my Sirius XM card, and that will only authorize for $10 a month. So if Sirius XM decides to get sneaky and tries to charge me for a full year in advance once my little promotion is up, and they try to charge me $200, this card is just going to deny that transaction. So it puts a lot of control in the consumer's hands. And I love it. It's been great. I've been using it for a lot of these random transactions that either it's a website that I don't normally do business with. Like I ordered some outdoor stuff from this one website I never used before. I didn't want them to have my debit card number. So I just generated a one-time card number. They did the transaction. That's it. That card is expired. They can't do anything else with it. If someone finds that card number or their website is breached, they can't use it. So the website is privacy.com. They make money by getting a little tiny percentage of the transaction. So if you charge $100, Privacy might make $1 off of that. I don't know how much the amount is, but that's how they make money. So it doesn't cost anything. You get a certain amount of cards each month. And if you want more than that, then you have to pay. I have not hit that at all. So there's also a cash back. Let's see, when you make a purchase using a private, I don't know, there's a cashback system as well. So you can make 1% back, but that's the website. I really like it. It helps me. if you've listened to the podcast many times, you know that I like to use my debit card over my credit card. And a lot of times on these random websites, I don't want to use my debit card because I don't want that number to get stolen or hacked or taken or whatever, because it's a headache to get a new one and it's my money. So I'd rather use something like Privacy where, yeah, it's still coming out of my debit card, but if something ever happens to that website, I don't have to worry about it because that card is not really going to work again. So there you go, privacy.com. Dawn Williams writes, "Hey Rich, I'm an instructional aide for a special needs kids and school starts on Monday." Well, Dawn, I have a lot of respect for you for doing that. Thank you. I know that takes a lot of patience and a good heart. So thank you for doing that. "My laptop is dying and I'm looking for a good quality laptop for work and social media. I'm trying to stay under $1,000. Do you have any suggestions? I will also use it for personal stuff like social media, music, etc. Thank you for your time and help, Dawn." Dawn, I would say if you're looking for a laptop under $1,000, I would go with a MacBook Air. And the reason I would say MacBook, I know, Rich, you only care about Apple stuff. Ooh, Apple, Apple, Apple. Well, let me give you my reasoning. I have purchased Apple laptops for a couple of years now. And I'll just tell you, they are, I call them the workhorse. They just work. They work and work and work and work and work and work. There's no fuss. You don't have to think about them. There's not a whole bunch of pop-ups happening all the time. There's not a whole bunch of software you're always downloading and uploading. And every time I turn on a Windows computer, there's some sort of major software update. On my Mac, yeah, there's a couple software updates here and there, but it's not that big of a deal. And it just runs smooth. You don't have to think about a lot of stuff when you have a Mac. And for that reason, I think if you want a headache-free experience and you're willing to spend $1,000, if you said you were spending, you wanted to spend less, then fine. I would have recommended some sort of budget Windows laptop. But you're looking to spend $1,000. The MacBook Air is $899 in the education store on Apple, and you get free AirPods at this point. So that sounds like an amazing deal. And I've had MacBook Airs. I've had them. I've edited video on them. I used them for my first couple years at KTLA, and they're great. Now, over the years, I've upgraded higher and higher to now a MacBook Pro 16. I used to have the 13. But again, all these laptops have been fantastic. And the best thing about an Apple laptop versus a Windows laptop, when you are done with it after, you know, it could be 4 or 5 years, it could be 6, could be 7, you can use these things for a really long time. And when you're done with it, you can still use it by giving it to a friend or a family member because it's still going to work. And yes, it's going to get a little bit slower over the years, but not like a Windows laptop. I'm not bashing Windows stuff, but I'm just saying, since Dawn, you want to spend $1,000, get something that's really good and get something that's really going to work for the long haul. So that's what I would recommend. And thank you again for being a fantastic teacher. Our kiddos need it, and you're doing a great job there. Lisa Knoll says on my Facebook page, "Hey Rich, I really enjoy your On Tech reports. I've been searching for the name of a cell phone that you had on your show, I believe last year. It was mainly for senior citizens and it makes calls, no internet. Do you recall the name of the phone? My mother is in need of a new phone. She's in a senior facility and needs a simple to use phone. She's not allowed any visitors at this time. I'm unable to teach her how to use a new phone in person. Thank you for your time and help. Have a great day." Well, the phone that I mentioned, I believe it was two of them. And one of them was the Lite phone. And this is a phone that just does phone calls. That's it. It's a very simple phone. What the cool thing is, you can actually link it to your Verizon account, and it's just a phone. You can't do anything with it. And now that I think about it, I should use this weekend so I can just disconnect from the grid. But the Lite phone is a little phone. All it does is make phone calls. It's got an e-ink screen. The battery lasts forever. And that's it. You can do text on there as well. But that's it. It's a Lite phone. It's a simple phone. And how much is it? Let's see. How much is that phone? Wow, $300. So it's kind of expensive for what you get. That's kind of an expensive phone. It's unlocked, but you do put a SIM card in there. I think the other phone that I mentioned was a T-Mobile flip phone, and it was from Alcatel. And I think, let's see, was it the Flip 3? And this was a really good little phone too. Yeah, Go Flip 3 from Alcatel on T-Mobile. And it's $4 a month. The full price is $100. And this is a flip phone. It's simple. Yes, it has a camera, but it's got nice... This is so funny. The website does not show it when it's open. I mean, that's kind of... T-Mobile, come on. You gotta show the buttons and the screen. They don't show it. That's so weird. But if you Google it, I'm sure you can find it. But the cool thing about this phone is that it also has Google Assistant built in, which is really interesting. So if you want, you can ask Google questions, which... You know, maybe your mom would get a kick out of, but this phone is also pretty simple because it's just a tiny screen, a little screen and big keys. And I think that that's probably a better way to go. That is $100. The other thing I would check out is go look at the website called Jitterbug. And Jitterbug makes all of the phones for seniors. They have nice, easy, big button phones like the Jitterbug Flip, which is $100. And there's really nothing to it. It's just a phone to make calls. So those are the three places that I would look. I think the Lite phone is probably too expensive, although it's nice because it's unlocked, which means you don't have to have a plan with it. The Jitterbug, you got to get a plan for that. So the Jitterbug is $100, but let's see how much a plan is. Minimum 250 minutes, $15 a month. Then you got to do your texts. So if you want to do text, which I don't think grandma's going to be doing or mom's going to be doing, so you're talking $15 a month for only 250 minutes. So if you want 2,500 minutes, you're $30 a month, and then unlimited is 40. So I personally like the idea of a cheaper phone. Anyway, you got to decide what you want to do, but those are the phones that I'd recommend with your mom, and I think they'll all be simple enough for her to use. All right, next question comes from Sandra. I really enjoy your segments on KTLA. Thank you. Oh, your podcasts and your newsletters. If you haven't signed up for my newsletter, go to richontech.tv. I usually send it out every other week. And it's kind of like this podcast. It's all the stuff I think you should know. The information that you share is always timely and useful. Now to my question. I'm on a 2015 MacBook Pro with Mojave operating system. I have not upgraded to Catalina because I don't want to lose Microsoft Word. I no longer have access to Word because I am retired. The Word program is the 2011 version. I only use Word to do word processing. I don't want to pay a monthly fee to get it. Should I be using the latest operating system? Is there another word processing program that I should be using? Would my files and documents be accessible in another word processing program? I hope you can help me, Sandy. Sandy, I think you should be running the latest Mac operating system. Why not? Your computer's still relatively new. I think it'll handle Catalina. You don't need it, but for security reasons, it's always a good idea to run the latest. When it comes to Word, you might lose your compatibility. That's true. I don't know because I'd have to upgrade on your system and see what happens. But I don't think you need Word anymore. Number one, you're using a program from 9 years ago. A lot has changed in 9 years. You can go to Google Docs and use it absolutely free, and you're going to get all of the modern conveniences that you may not even have in the Microsoft Word program that you have there. So I would recommend just firing up your computer and going to Google Docs, which is, docs.google.com. And as long as you have a Google account, you can use that totally free. I've been using it for, I believe, 10 years now, and I've had zero problems with Google Docs. In fact, it just keeps getting better and better. And I was one of those old holdouts that thought, oh, there's no way that Google could do something as good as Microsoft because that's a paid, expensive program. But they kind of do, and it works. Will your files and documents be accessible? Yes, they will. You can upload them into Google Drive, and they will convert over to the Google Docs, and it'll be great. It'll be great, and it'll be totally free. Good question there. All right, we're almost to the end of the show here, so let's see here. What do I want to answer? I'll do one more question, and let's do this one because this one is a question that that's the touch tones. When I get phone calls back on the show, we'll use that. But no, this is what it is. It's typing because you guys are typing your questions to me. Alyssa says, big fan here. Quick question. Can you point me to the right direction for how to create more storage for myself as an older iPhone 7S? Any tips you can help provide would be awesome. I trust you. Alyssa, I think the number one thing you need to check on your iPhone is your iCloud backups. And that is by going into settings, that is tapping your name at the top, and then iCloud, and then manage storage. And when you look into manage storage, you'll notice that a lot of your stuff is probably used up by two things, photos and backups, and also messages. So this is where you want to go into your iCloud storage and delete any backups. Now, you said create more storage for yourself on your phone. So this is just one aspect. A lot of people confuse the two. It'll say we need more storage, but it's talking about iCloud, or sometimes it's on the phone. More often than not, it's really the iCloud storage that's filling up that you need to empty, but I'll tell you both ways. So number one, on your phone with the iCloud, go to where I said, and just kind of look up and see what's going on. So for me, I've got 51 gigs of photos in Photos. I don't need 51 gigs of photos on iCloud because guess what? I don't use iCloud for my photos. So I can go in and disable and delete that. No problem. I'm going to get a big scary screen that says delete photos and videos. Yes, I don't need that. So that's number one. Then you've got iCloud Drive. See what you've got filling up that. For me, I've got all kinds of stuff, not a lot of stuff, but it's just enough random stuff that's taking up 8 gigs. Then I've got my backups. And after this question, I actually went in and deleted some of my old backups. But you want to see how many backups do you have in there? And for me, I had a whole bunch of lingering backups. So the only backups you need in there are your current backups. So if you've ever upgraded to a new iPhone, you probably have the old iPhone backup in there and you don't need it. So you can go ahead and delete that. Just be careful with that because I don't want you to delete backups that you might need. The other thing you want to do is go into the storage settings on your phone. So general iPhone settings, general iPhone storage, and look up what's taking up the storage on your phone. And they'll show you some recommendations. So for me, the recommendation is that the three things, let's see, the things taking up the biggest storage on my phone, again, are photos, podcasts. I have 45 gigabytes of downloaded podcasts. Delete, delete, delete. And you can delete those by just swiping left on the podcasts and it will delete the podcast that it is downloaded to your phone. I don't need 45 gigs of podcasts on my phone. Woo. That might be taking up a lot on yours. Adobe Rush, it's 4 gigs. I can go in and delete some of the stuff there. And my photos, I have 45 gigs of photos on my phone. I can delete some of my videos and also the recently deleted and save some space there. So those are just a few of the simple ways to free up some storage on your iPhone. Believe me, that is one of the trickiest ways that Apple gets you to pay for more storage is your phone runs out of storage or your iCloud. It's just a whole bunch of stuff you don't need that's sitting in there. So good question. All good questions. Can you believe it? That is going to do it for this episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed this version of the show. I'm not going to do this every week, but I just wanted to do it this week as a special episode because I've gotten so many emails. If you have a question for me, you can email me. It's hello@richontech.tv. I'll give you a new code word this time. The code word this week is highlight. If you put highlight in your email, I will notice it and I will send you a response faster. So just put it in the subject line. Start it with highlight. And that way I know you're a big fan of the podcast and I will take you more seriously. If you'd like to send me an email, just go to richontech.tv, hit the email button at the bottom of the page. Also, if you would rate and review this podcast, it really helps other people discover it. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech. Got a lot of reviews since the last one. Let's see. D. Aguilar, 1983, said, Rich always has great information to share. Highly recommended. Thank you. And KD6YWK, is that like a ham radio thing? Great as always. Thank you for sharing your knowledge in a very easy to understand way. Well, you're welcome. My name is Rich DeMiro. On behalf of everyone that gets this show to your ears, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe. We'll talk to you real soon.